The Monty Show. It's never a bad Monday to bounce with Big Boy, especially when the Super Bowl went bananas. Burn Philly. Why do people burn their cities down?
I don't get it.
There were so many records broken, Jake, in the Super Bowl last night. We'll talk about all that. We have got to get to lower ratings. Is Donald Trump right? That's just a basic question.
The economy is booming.
Is Donald Trump... Well, Dow was off 1,100 today. You know. But is Donald Trump right about ratings? I think that's a huge, huge question. If the Don was right about NFL ratings, we'll talk about that a little bit. We have got to also get to this idea that Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski may very well retire. I think that's interesting. Heck yeah, we got that Big Boy bouncing. But I think there's just a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the NFL. And I also think we got to get to LaVar Ball, who again is killing his kids. Did you hear
but
what
not
he
like
did?
Really killing him, just killing him in the press.
Did you hear what LaVar Ball did in Lithuania yesterday? We got to get to that. There is so much to get to. The Eagles won. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Your number one takeaway from the Super Bowl yesterday, young Jake.
Got to define the catch rule, black and white. I need it in black and white. Like, it's got to be defined.
Yeah, we had some battles over the catch rule. We had some battles over the Super Bowl yesterday. But my number one takeaway is Malcolm Butler smokes weed.
Bro.
That's the number one story of the Super Bowl. And I think that's the one that really stands out to me the most, is that I am stunned that Malcolm Butler didn't play in this game. And now today, depending on who you believe, it's coming out that Malcolm Butler was out past curfew, and as things would happen,
yeah,
he also had some weed.
Yeah.
So do you believe Malcolm Butler or do you believe Bill Belichick?
I mean, you have to go with Bill, but at the same time, it's just odd to me that the stories aren't exactly lining up. Bill is saying he put the best talent on the field and that it's a longer, broader discussion. Meanwhile, Malcolm Butler is saying he doesn't know why. He was benched and he's not too sure. So I don't buy it.
Malcolm Butler knows exactly why he was benched. I don't buy that. Sorry, man. Malcolm Butler knows darn well that he smoked weed. And the story going around is that Malcolm Butler smoked weed and he was out past curfew, came back to the hotel and had marijuana on him. Bill Belichick benched him. If he didn't know why he was benched, why was he crying before the game?
Yeah. I think he knew he wasn't going to play, for sure.
Clearly, right? I mean, clearly he knew he wasn't going to play. How surprised were you by that?
Well, I just think it's the whole weed discussion in the NFL is kind of a grander discussion. But as it pertains to this case, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty dumb reason to get benched for the Super Bowl if that is indeed what happened. I mean, how bad do you feel if you're Malcolm Butler? And you're like, well, you know, because he said, I could have made a difference in this game. And by some accounts,
for sure,
you know, they would have had a much better chance if he would have played because of, you know, the Ertz matchup and Alshon Jeffrey matchup and just all that. So it sucks to not play because
he's
you smoked weed.
He's their best defensive back. It's not a question they would have had a chance to win. Now, it would have been nice if they could have snapped on the field goal. But if Malcolm Butler's out there, their chances of winning the Super Bowl they go up exponentially. I don't have a percentage on it, but if you think about the things that went down in this game, 613 yards, the most ever by an offense in any NFL game in a loss.
Yeah.
Not the Super Bowl or a playoff game, any NFL game in history, 505 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. For Tom Brady, that's the first time anybody has ever had those stats and lost. I mean, it's remarkable. The Patriots never punted, and they lost. How does this even compute? They couldn't stop the Eagles. Nick Foles was amazing. The defense, Brandon Graham got that sack right when he needed it. Take nothing away from Philadelphia here because I think they earned this win.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler was a distraction. And at the end of the day, it turned out Bill Belichick was a distraction. Are we watching the Patriots melting down?
That's a little strong right now. I mean, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that their coaching staff is being decimated. You know, Patricia's gone with the Lions. Daniels is gone.
Now.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just think you're losing a lot of coaching talent. And then you talk about, you know, Tom Brady allegedly potentially retiring, which I don't think he will. I think he's probably got two more seasons left.
Oh, Giselle's going to make a push. We all know that.
She makes a push every year. I mean, it's up to Tom Brady, and that's the bottom line. But I think Gronk, I think there's a real chance that Gronk doesn't come back. I think he's had to battle so many injuries that I think he's getting to that point that some players get to where it's just simply not worth it anymore, you know?
So Ian Rappaport, by the way, just tweeted 2 minutes ago, my understanding in the benching of Malcolm Butler, it was a perfect storm. He was sick, had a rough week of practice, and had a minor rules violation believed to be related to curfew, a complicated matter. You add that to the fact that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are said to have to get their heads together and clear the air after the season. What does that say to you?
There's no chemistry on the team. There's absolutely no chemistry on the team. And that's kind of odd to me. It's interesting that that Bill and Tom have some kind of fractured relationship after all these years. I mean, I guess they're just running out of patience for each other. I don't know. But one of the key factors in the Patriots' success is their ability to have a unified locker room, right? And that's why so many players have had trouble on certain NFL teams but go to the Patriots and don't have any trouble.
Like, I'm just reading some of the reaction to this Rappaport tweet, and I mean, it's pretty clear that people believe the story that he was found to have marijuana on him. Should he have been benched for being late and having weed on him?
Not in the Super Bowl. I don't think you bench him. But
so morality is not as important as winning a championship.
No, it's not. Not in the NFL. Not in the landscape of things. I think when you look at what everybody's doing in the NFL, I think there's a big push for athletes to be able to do that stuff.
I totally disagree. They should have benched him. He right now, marijuana is not legal in the NFL. I don't know if it's legal in Minneapolis. I think it's not. But he was late for curfew. He had a terrible week of practice. He's been in a contract dispute. You're about to become a free agent or get traded, and you miss curfew and smoke weed. How unintelligent does one human being have to be? Yeah. I'm not defending Malcolm Butler at all. I side with Bill Belichick on it 100% because I got to be honest with you. It'd have been easy to just put 21 out there and say nothing about it. But he's not covering up. And you know why he's not covering up? Because this helps the Patriots. This drives his price down. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't re-sign with them. I don't know what the future holds for Malcolm Butler. But this did not help Malcolm Butler. It didn't help anybody, frankly. He cost himself some money.
Yeah, I mean, it hurt them big time.
Rob Gronkowski, after the game, said he wasn't ready to commit to playing next year. Your thoughts? 2 touchdowns in the game, played really well.
I just think as a player, he's getting to a point where he's tired of fighting injury. I mean, his back, his arm, the concussions. I mean, at some point you just decide it's not worth it anymore. The guy's been paid. I mean, it's not like he's got any kind of problems financially, and he'll be able to, whatever he chooses to do next after football, he'll be fine.
Tom Brady said that he can't see a reason he wouldn't play, but he's not ready to commit to next year.
That's the I got to talk to the wife. That's what that is. I mean, I'm not even being sarcastic.
It's a long honey-do list. I got to see if I can knock that honey-do list out before training camp starts.
But that's what it is, right? Because he's saying that statement means I want to play, but I can't commit to it yet because I got to talk to Giselle.
What does Philadelphia do with Nick Foles?
I think you trade him. I think you got to trade him. I mean, his trade value is not going to be any higher than it is right now. He just won the Super Bowl. He just completed the fairy tale story. You beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
You don't have any questions.
No remorse.
You would rather have Nick Foles, or that you would rather have Carson Wentz over Nick Foles.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. No questions, nothing.
Nope.
I would trade Nick Foles as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Like right now. I would trade him as soon as I can.
Carson Wentz is just a superior talent. I mean, the guy was pushing to be the MVP before he got hurt. Nick Foles is never going to be an MVP. He's not that guy.
I would agree with that. He's not a guy that you build a franchise around for the rest of his career. He's not that guy. So I think that's interesting. But I also think they have to get better. They have to be better defensively. I know that they scored 41 points. I know that the Philadelphia Eagles today are Super Bowl champions.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
That defense has to be better. The secondary's got to
get
better.
I was surprised how many points that defense allowed. I mean, I know it's Tom Brady. I know it's the Patriots, but that's a lot of yards.
It's a hell of a lot of yards.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really surprised by that. I mean, coming into this game, they were touted as the best defense, and they're going to shut down the Patriots, and that's how they're going to win this game. They won it with offense, not defense.
Did you enjoy the game?
I
You're
did.
You're not a huge football
fan. I'm not a huge football fan. I'm more of a basketball, baseball guy. But
and what
for
did you
Super
say
Bowl,
to me right before the show started?
It's baseball season. It's baseball season, man. Couldn't be more excited.
You're just done talking football.
Yeah, because I think the conversation never changes, right? We're either talking about concussion protocol and injuries, or we're talking about how Roger Goodell's disciplinary consistency is horrible, or we're talking about whether Tom Brady's the best quarterback in
no,
the league or
was
not.
It a catch or not?
Was it a catch or not? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like the same five
about.
Topics like the entire season, yeah. You know? And so, yeah, I mean, I get that it's the best sport in USA, but I think that's because it's a simple sport. It's not hard to figure it out.
Throw ball, catch ball, run ball.
That's it, right?
Did the officials try to help the Eagles last night?
I'm not going to say they tried to help them. I don't know how you missed.
Did the officials help the Eagles last night?
No, I don't think they intentionally helped the Eagles. I don't think they went out of their way and said, yeah, we're not going to call this illegal formation. I don't
Arguably, the play that won them the game was the Nick Foles touchdown catch.
Right.
It was clearly an illegal formation. You had to throw that flag. And you're telling me, okay, the Zach Ertz touchdown, the touchdown before that in the back of the end zone. I don't think either one of them are touchdowns. I could be wrong.
The one in the back of the end zone was not a touchdown, in my opinion. I don't think he had control.
So they got two of three calls.
Yeah.
And they won the Super Bowl by 8 points.
You got it. Exactly. So what does that say about the Patriots, right? But my point is, at some point, you got to define what a catch in the NFL is. It shouldn't be this hard, right? Like, it should not be this hard. It really should just be 2 feet in bounce and control the football. And that's it.
Is this why replay is a problem? Because I could argue that this right here is why replay is a problem. I think replay causes issues of integrity amongst officials.
Well,
and
I think
it makes fans question whether or not the game is fixed. Because you see that play at the back of the end zone, that guy's foot was out of bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think he had control of it. His foot's out of bounds. You see that play where Nick Foles that's an illegal formation.
Yeah.
And you don't call it. And that's not even a replay issue. It's right there in black and white in front of you.
I think the biggest challenge for people watching the game on TV is how is it that we understand if that's a catch or not a catch, and it's taking them like 5, 6, 7 minutes to figure this out.
I don't know.
That's the biggest challenge. And we see this in baseball too. We see this in basketball too. Why is it so difficult to figure it out, right? And so I just think you need a clear cut. What is a catch and what is not a catch?
It's a huge problem in the NFL. What do you make of the ratings thing? Donald Trump today did a rally in Cincinnati, and he talked about how no players knelt down and that was a win for him, and that he's made a huge impact on the NFL, which I agree. Donald Trump, I think, has had a huge impact.
He's had an impact. I think it's huge.
I think Donald Trump has had a huge impact on the way the NFL does business. They don't kneel down anymore. There's controversy. Ratings are down. This was a great football game, and Buffalo was the leading NFL market last night.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Boston, Philly, and Minneapolis were the four leading markets. Not New York, not Chicago,
LA.
Not Los Angeles. Buffalo. That's a problem. Is the NFL a damaged product? I mean, will the NFL be in its current state in 10 years?
No. I mean, I just don't think people have the patience to wait 10 years. I think people, you know, we saw another helmet-to-helmet collision last night, and it had a huge impact on the game. And so I think people are just getting tired of the concussions and the violence of the game. Now, I get that football is a violent sport.
It is.
But I think you have to take a stand if you're the NFL at some point. What position are you going to view concussions and injuries from? Are you going to view
it
as... By
the way, the hit on Brayden Cooks was legal, not illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was a runner at that point, not a defenseless receiver.
Just for clarification.
But still, either way, from a fan's perspective, that's still a really violent hit. He turned around and got laid out, right? Like, that's a football play, but a really violent hit. So at some point, if I'm the NFL, I'm just saying, look, these hits are part of the game. You either like it or you don't, because they know that people are going to watch.
Do you like it?
I don't personally love watching football. I mean, it's a great product, in my opinion. It's easy to watch. It's fun. It's fast-paced. But
you,
I don't like
don't
the violence.
So you have a problem with the violence?
Yeah, I have the problems.
You're a huge Conor McGregor fan.
Yeah.
Help me understand, and this is something that goes on in this country all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand the difference between the UFC mixed martial arts and the NFL. Because it's worse in mixed martial arts. You love watching MMA UFC.
I like watching personalities in the UFC. I don't love just watching run-of-the-mill UFC. It's not entertaining enough to watch just a run-of-the-mill fight. Like, I loved the Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz saga, right?
Right.
It's from an injury standpoint, is what you're asking me. Yeah. I think for me, there's a lot of similarities. I agree. I think both players in the NFL and UFC fighters are choosing to take the punishment. But I think the biggest difference for me is that in the NFL, a lot of players don't see it coming. They don't see a lot of these hits. Like last night, that was a blind hit. I think in the UFC, you step into that cage, you're standing right in front of the guy who's hitting you.
So you're telling me because they see it coming, it makes a difference. Like this, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw this. I shared a video of these idiots in a slapping contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's an open hand slapping.
Yeah, I want to understand that. Somebody help me understand that. Okay, you know that concussions are killing people, and this is okay with you. Like that, I just will never understand that. I'll never understand. Like, it's hard for me to watch the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to watch boxing because I know now, and I'm a guy that grew up loving boxing. I know now what it's doing to the guys that are participating.
Right, but at what point is it on them because they made the choice? They made the choice to make that their career.
And so is that the same thing in the NFL then?
It is 100% the same thing because you ask most NFL players and they'll say, yeah, I'd do it all over again. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah,
I'm not saying
I don't know, man.
Concussions. I'm not saying
I don't
like
it at all.
But
it's
part of choosing to be in the NFL. It's part of choosing to be a fighter, right? Like that's part of it.
I get that. But at what point do you condone that? And this is my problem with the NFL and why I think in 10 years the NFL is going to have a major problem.
Uh-huh.
At what point do you as a fan, and me as a fan of football in the NFL, at what point do we become partially responsible for what these guys are doing to themselves? Never?
I mean, that's a really tough question. I don't think it's a tough question. You're hardcore that we're responsible for their injuries because they want to make money, and that money is coming from TV viewership. TV viewership is going down, so at some point the money stops being from TV viewership. I think at some point, for me, I'm willing to say, you know what? The only reason I watch all the NFL games this year is because we were in a pool. I would be perfectly fine to not watch the NFL. I'd be perfect. I would choose MLB over NFL all day long. Like, I wouldn't even have a problem with it. But it's not really living together. It's not really our choice because you love the NFL. And we had people over for Super Bowl. Of course we're going to watch the Super Bowl, right? Like, that's a thing in this country.
Yeah.
It's a national holiday, essentially. So I just think, if it was me and I was living alone and it's me and my dog on the couch, I'm probably watching the NBA or Major League Baseball. That's what I would be watching.
Yeah, people on Twitter right now are telling me I'm dumb for that.
I just think it's a bit extreme. I think saying that we are responsible for the choice these guys are making is a bit extreme.
Well, and that's probably a different day. I don't know. But it just feels like we're partly responsible for that. What we're not responsible for is idiots wrecking their city.
Yeah.
I've never understood the need to burn things, flip cars, rip down street poles.
In celebration
of a championship. Well, in general, like I've never understood, like the Watts riots and the LA, you know, South Central LA riots. Okay, I get that. People were being murdered. I get that.
Is burning LeBron's jersey if we're going to the Heat a thing? Is that acceptable?
I guess. It's a jersey. It's not like they're burning somebody's store, mm-hmm. right? Like, what pisses me off about what happened in Philadelphia last night is people lost their cars. People lost a building. People were injured. A hotel awning or restaurant awning, a guy fell off of. The taxpayers are going to have to replace stoplights and light posts and like all of this stupidity, and somebody needs to help me understand why that's okay.
Why is
that acceptable? Because I'm with you. I don't get it at all.
Why do we have to destroy things? Well, I understand wanting to party and celebrate with your friends and enjoying that night. And I was seeing all the Eagles love on Periscope. Like, that's great. Like, celebrate. You won. It's awesome. Like, congratulations. But don't go and destroy the city. I just don't understand the need for it. Like, what are you hoping to gain? Why is that cool? Why can't you just stay home and drink? Why can't you just stay in the bar and drink?
I don't even care if people go out to party and have fun and celebrate. Okay, your team won the Super Bowl. I get that. You know, I get it. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm not okay with destroying your city because your team won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Help me. That's what I don't understand. I know I say this every time there's a celebration, but it is what it is. On a very, very serious note, Sunday morning, Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson was killed, and I'll even say murdered, by a drunk driver. 26 years old. He's out at 4 a.m. in an Uber. They're on I-70 in Indianapolis. By some accounts, Edwin Jackson, the linebacker, got sick in the back of the car. They pulled over. While they were pulled over, a Guatemalan illegal immigrant who had been deported twice was behind the wheel of a Ford F-150. He was drunk. Swerved into the shoulder, crashed into their car, hit both of them, and killed them. And I just want to, again, maybe understand it is the right way to put this. When are we going to do something about DUIs in this country? And I don't want to talk about building, you know, fucking walls, and I don't want to talk about that. This guy was deported twice.
Yeah.
And he murdered two innocent people last night.
Yeah.
Or Sunday night.
Yeah.
I want to understand the whole DUI thing. I want to understand when we're going to take that seriously. Like, we don't talk about many serious subjects on the show, let's be honest.
Right.
We talk about a lot of sports. We talk about fun chicks.
Stormy Daniels.
We're going to wind up talking about gym clothes before the show's over.
The D.
You know, yeah. I don't understand this, and this is a serious topic.
Yeah.
And I had a Twitter conversation with a bunch of people yesterday, and I said, at what point do we put you in jail for the rest of your life when you kill somebody while you're drunk? At what point do we say, hey, if you get one single DUI, your first ever DUI, you'll never drive again? And that's because we're going to revoke your license. And if you're caught behind the wheel, it's jail time. Like, make it a severe penalty. This really bothers me. Like, it hurts my soul that a 26-year-old kid was doing it the right way. A 26-year-old man was doing it the right way. He was out late. He got in an Uber. And he still got killed. Like, that really bothers me.
Yeah.
From a guy who's been deported twice in the country illegally, driving drunk in a Ford F-150 and hit them on the side of the road. That is just such bullshit.
It is.
Like, oh my good gracious, somebody. I don't know.
I think DUI and alcohol consumption in this country is out of control. I mean, I think at some point you're exactly right on this one. I think at some point you have to, you have to lock people down. I don't think it'll ever be a situation.
Lock people down is right.
Well, like, it's never going to be a situation where it's like, okay, you got one DUI, you're done for the rest of your life. That's just simply like
you
not
should,
going
I
to happen.
I think if you get a DUI, you should never be allowed to drive again.
That's not realistic. I could see a three-strike rule.
Why, though?
Because nobody's going to do that.
But nobody's doing anything now. There is a three-strike rule. There is mandatory fines. They've tried to take people's money. It doesn't work. They've tried to suspend people's license. We have people that get eight times. Like eight, your eighth DUI. DUI is such a big industry in this country that there are attorneys who all they do is get people out of DUIs.
Yeah.
Friends don't let friends drive drunk or plead guilty to DUI. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Not to mention that this guy's been deported twice before he committed double homicide.
That was the icing on the cake of this whole thing.
Like, I mean, it just makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fix it because it's what I always say about gun crimes. I am a passionate gun owner. I have a concealed carry permit. Like, I'm a passionate gun owner. I like to think that I'm a responsible gun owner. I think if you kill somebody with a gun and it was unlawful, I think you should go to jail for the rest of your life. I don't think you should ever get out. You know, I just don't. But people, oh, you can't do that. Why? We have a gun epidemic in this country. Hey, if you kill somebody because you're driving drunk, you should go to jail for the rest of your life. Period. Oh, can't do that. Accidents happen. People deserve second chances. Not with DUIs. Not with guns. It just, I know, I'm over the top. I'm, whatever. I'm rambling now. Well, it really bothers me.
I know it bothers you, but I think, first off, the gun thing, if you kill somebody in an unlawful manner, yeah, you're going to do time. There's no doubt about that.
Do time, but then you get out and you get another gun.
Well, then you need to change the gun laws, and I think that's well documented. I think if you look across the world in different countries, Australia is a great example. They don't allow guns. You don't have guns in Australia, and their crime rate is much lower. So I think if you took guns away, which is never going to happen, that would change.
Yeah,
the DUI thing, I agree with you. I agree.
But it'll never change.
It'll never change. There's too much money in it.
It's ridiculous.
It'll never change.
Absolutely ridiculous. Will people not watching Gladiator ever change? One last Super Bowl story.
No.
So we had a small gathering at our house, right? Small, but there was room for aggressive expansion.
Yes, yes.
Right? One of the people happened to be my niece, mm-hmm. Cassidy.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, whose name is the...
D.
The D. No, I'm not kidding. His name is Darius. She calls him the D. Can't make this up.
Can't make it up. It's awesome.
And I'm just... we were talking yesterday during the game. And we... Because Jake and I obnoxiously talk in Dark Knight language.
Dark Knight at ease. Is that what we're calling it?
Do you want to know why I use a knife? Like, we just... We... Out of the blue, right? Like, yeah. We talk, yeah. Fifth Element, you're a monster, Zorg.
I know.
Right? Like, we talk in movie terms. Maximus Decimus, yeah, you know, we talk in, I'm terribly vexed.
Yes.
Like, we talk in movie lingo a lot. My 18-year-old niece has neither seen Gladiator, The Dark Knight, Fifth Element, like, the list of films, The Big Lebowski.
Hannah Montana?
She hasn't seen the Tarantino movie.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, which I can never remember the name of. She hasn't seen Pulp Fiction. She hasn't seen Kill Bill. And it's just like, what is wrong with people?
Like, it's a crime.
It's
a crime.
Bro, it's Gladiator. Like, I almost cursed
Maximus.
Again.
Maximus.
You know, like, if how have you gone through life for 18 years and not seen Gladiator? Are you fucking high?
Man. I don't know.
What is wrong with you? Go to Arizona State and you haven't seen Gladiator. You haven't seen Lilu Dallas Multipass. Right? You haven't seen Royale with Cheese. you haven't seen some of the greatest movies ever. You don't know what the dude abide means.
Ron Kuby.
Like, you don't know. You don't know why Lebowski needs to stay the hell out of my town, Lebowski.
Stay, like, out of Malibu.
You just, how have you lived that long? Like, what are movies that are mandatory viewing? Like, I haven't seen The Lion King. I haven't seen Nemo.
Mandatory.
No, they're not.
Yes,
no,
they are, dude.
Finding Nemo is not a mandatory
Finding
film.
Finding Nemo is mandatory, man.
I wear a size 15 shoe. I eat steak and I work for a living. I don't need to see The Lion King.
Okay.
I don't need to see...
Bro, there are big life lessons in these movies.
Yeah, I get it. The sun's going to rise tomorrow and we're all underdogs.
Kumbaya.
Whatever. Kumbaya, mother effers. I get it, right? I get it. Gladiators must see for anybody.
You know The Dark Knight is the top watched movie for millennials?
My niece has never seen The Dark Knight.
She's not a millennial.
She's like, oh, Batman Rises. No. No, no. The Dark Knight. Yeah, Batman Rises. No. No, no. No. And it's like, how have you never seen that movie? There's so many, like,
little emotions.
You want to see a magic trick? You know?
There's just so many grade A lines
it's
in that movie.
Gone. Like, how have you never seen that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's an outrage. It's an outrage.
What is the most outrageous film that you've never seen? I got it. The Godfathers have to be there.
Yes, yes.
Ronan has to be there.
I've seen Ronan. We watched.
Oh, that's right. We watch Ronan.
Oh man. There is a Tarantino movie that I haven't seen. It's
probably Goodfellas.
I think we watched that. It's like Reservoir Dogs.
Great movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Great movie. And I'm proud of you because you've started watching The Sopranos. Finally.
I like it. It's good. Yeah,
you've got some hair down there. I mean, I'm proud of you. The point is, there are some things that are just mandatory viewing.
Yeah.
And I think Gladiator's one of them. Dark Knight's one of them. Big Lebowski's one of them. You know, like, she's still watching the Sleepless in Seattle doctor TV show. Whatever. I'm such a man, I can't even think of the name of it. The doctor show, McDreamy. Whatever the hell it's called.
Oh, Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy. And your girlfriend watches Grey's Anatomy, which is even more terrible.
We don't need to bring that up.
Whatever.
It's embarrassing.
Best food we had last night.
The mini tacos.
The mini tacos. Massive.
Ranch and mini tacos.
Worst food we had last night. Sweet potato french fries. Did not turn out well.
We didn't have enough canola oil.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree. Best thing we watched yesterday. Oh, easy. Lakers and OKC.
Yeah.
What do you make of the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think they're in an oddball spot because I think you could easily let this group mature together and kind of grow together and become kind of a core team that competes every year. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to trade. I think they're going to sign free agents, and this will be a different team next year.
Keep or dump Julius Randle?
I say you keep him, but he's got a lot of value. He's got a lot of value. And I think depends on who you ask. That's the tough part about organizations like the Lakers. They're the Lakers. They have a lot of young talent. And Julius Randle, in the battle with Carmelo Anthony that entire game, proved himself.
Awesome.
And so I don't know what do you say about that? As the season's getting older, this team's getting better together.
Jordan Clarkson.
See you later. Not a Jordan Clarkson guy. I think he's selfish. I think he takes a lot of bad shots. But on that same token, I think he makes a lot of shots with them, as he did yesterday.
Larry Nance Jr.
I would love to see them keep him. He's got a lot of athletic ability. I think he's still a little bit raw. He's got to refine his game a little bit. But if he can do that, I think he's a good player.
Wow. Caldwell Pope.
Nah, you got to let him go.
So you dump him?
Yeah.
There's Kyle Kuzma.
I think you got to keep him.
You have to keep Kyle Kuzma.
You have to keep him. Way too much upside.
Right? Like,
he's their Ben Simmons, man.
Yeah, I look at their team, and the thing that bothers me most right now is that they're without LaVar Ball. Yes, I said LaVar.
Right.
I'm being a dick.
Yeah, I know.
They're without Lonzo Ball. And it just is kind of interesting to me as I go through this whole thing.
Right.
And I look at who's scoring for them and who's not. The scariest part is that Kyle Kuzma is their leading scorer, and he's played terrible.
And he plays off the bench.
So you've got Kuz. Brandon Ingram is untouchable. Has Julius Randle put himself in that position? And Julius Randle's a head case.
To stay. Yeah, I mean, after yesterday, I feel like he has.
But just based on yesterday, or has this been a culmination of
it? I think it's been building. I think yesterday was one of the peaks of the season, but he needs to keep up that play. And like you were just about to say, he's a head case. You never know.
He's very much a head case. You know, the guy that I think has become valuable to them, like a guy like an Alex Caruso, has become valuable. He's carved out a role on this
solid
team.
Solid bench player.
But I think you would trade him in a second.
Yeah.
I think it's Kuzma. I think it's Ingram. I think Lonzo Ball, obviously. What about Josh Hart? Tenacious player.
He's a guy you trade because he's never going to start for you. He is a bench player in this league. Quality.
Can he
bench
help
player.
A playoff team?
Yes, he can. Absolutely can.
If you are the Lakers, would you move Julius to Cleveland? Would you move him to Philly? Would you move him to Boston? Would you move him to a team that's going to be good for a decade?
Look, I think it depends what you're getting back. I think, yes, you're listening to all the offers, but you're taking the best offer. And you hope that doesn't come from a Celtics, a Cleveland, a good
team. If you're the Lakers, what's your most tradable chip, though? It's probably Julius Randle.
Probably. Value-wise, it probably is. But I also think you could probably put a deal together for, you know, Josh Hart, KCP, and... you know, Larry Nance, let's say. You can give a team three, you know, solid players, up-and-coming players for X.
See, I'm going to say it's Jordan Clarkson, who is your most tradable player. Because no matter how you look at Jordan Clarkson, there's one thing you know. Mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson can frickin' score the basketball.
Yeah.
Like, the guy can put the ball in the hoop. And he's somebody that plays 24 minutes and gives you 15 points a game.
Take it.
The problem is he's a volume shooter. He needs a lot of touches. And the other problem is I don't think you have a true superstar on this team. And you got to figure this out.
Is Brandon Ingram in this league? I mean, can he be young? I know he's young. I know he is, but you see him growing into his frame. I mean, we've been watching him for, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
He first came in here and he was a stick.
But he's 20 years old.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you get rid of Brandon Ingram?
Yeah. And he was really good at Duke. Last year, I mean, the guy just hadn't eaten pasta in his entire life.
Yeah. Get some more rigatoni.
Rail thin.
Yeah.
And now, what is this? His second year in the league, I guess. He's turned into something. Like, he can get to the rim at will now.
Yeah.
He can now. He's that guy who he can dunk, but I don't know that he can dunk on guys. Like, Larry Nance Jr. can dunk on anybody.
Yeah.
Your boy Kevin Durant is an example.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Lakers, I'm very careful who I'm trading these guys to, because I think you look at the West, and the Golden State Warriors are the blueprint. They are the blueprint for how you make really good basketball teams. They drafted well. Bob Myers has done a hell of a job up there. They've drafted well. They've done great with free agency, obviously. They're going to have to make a decision on a max contract.
Yeah.
Is Klay Thompson a guy that you're going to lock up max? It's close.
It's close. It's really close. I mean, you're going to have to let somebody go. And we were talking about this last week. No. I would take Klay over Draymond.
I'd let Draymond go. I can't stand Draymond Green.
I know. You're not a Draymond Green guy.
Even just take the personal BS out of it.
He has
worth. Just as a player. On defense. He shoots too many threes.
He does.
He has trouble at times catching the ball. And he loses his brain for a few minutes. And says and does things he shouldn't do. This team, Draymond Green is too comfortable, I think, is the problem. He needs to get Draymond Green on Cleveland would be deadly.
Yeah.
Right, because he's now going to grind to beat you, and that's the kind of situation he needs to be in. He will be a better player if Golden State moves Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Because he will get knocked down a rung, and that's exactly what that guy needs. Klay Thompson is already a humble guy who believes in himself. And on the ball, I don't know that there's a better defensive guard in the NBA than that guy on the ball.
Yeah.
There's value in that.
Yeah.
What bothers me is they'll go 5, 6, 7 possessions. He won't touch the ball.
Yeah.
He won't take a shot. Because I think there's not enough to go around in Golden State. That's why the LeBron thing is just complete crap. Like, can you imagine LeBron, Klay, Steph, and KD on the same floor? How is that even?
All-star team.
Yeah. Like, you're not doing that. LeBron's not doing
that. It doesn't work in realistic basketball. It doesn't work to, you know, you can't. There's not enough to go around. We're already seeing that in Oklahoma City.
Absolutely right. And I don't think if you went and made a major trade, I don't think that would be. But as far as the Lakers go, I thought that was a really important performance for them. You know who I thought won that game for them? I thought Luke Walton won that game for them. He did a great job of calming that team down. Took timeouts at the right time. Now, he might want to teach them how to break the press and the trap because they were terrible. But here's the other thing. How are you, Oklahoma City, hosting the Lakers at the end of a long-ass road trip for them, and they beat you in your building? How does that even register? How does that compute?
Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle outplayed them.
It's they really simple. Did.
They outplayed Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. That's what happened.
Well, I think Carmelo Anthony's dead weight. I mean, he can shoot occasionally. He does not defend. He does not get you a rebound. And I look at the way that game played out. And if Paul George isn't one of the best mid-range shooters in I think, of his generation, they get blown out by 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George single-handedly kept them in that game. Now, Russ was really good, too, getting to the rim whenever he wanted it, whatever. I look at the way Paul George played 10 of 19. He shot really well, 3 of 6 from three, gave him 26 points. Like, he made big shot after big shot. By the way, Paul George, not a half-bad defender as well.
Yeah.
I just think Paul George is their most complete player. I know Russell Westbrook's good, and they were going on and on. Hubie Brown was just like jacking that dude about how he's going to get a triple-double again, and if he gets to rebounds, and whatever. Paul George is, in my opinion, their most complete player, and I if they lose him, that's a dog team.
It is.
That's it, because Carmelo Anthony's not a prolific player.
No, he's not, and it was surprising to see. Were you surprised to see him get dominated by Julius Randle?
Yes. Yeah, on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And Julius handled him pretty easily. 3 of 13. Carmelo shot 3 of 13 in that
game. And what do you make of Ingram blocking Melo like that? Rising like that to block
Carmelo's him. Not a young man anymore. He's not a young man. And if Julius Randle's going to shoot 50% on you if from the floor and from three, and he's going to make his free throws, that's the other thing. The Lakers are a terrible free throw shooting team.
Yeah, horrible.
But Julius Randle outplayed Carmelo Anthony. Outplayed him. Like, you're not keeping this core group of guys together. You're not. If you're Oklahoma City, you're not keeping those guys together. And I think this Western Conference, and this is why I respect the Warriors so much, this Western Conference is an absolute battle. And Houston, terrible losses. San Antonio, chemistry issues. I don't know what to make of Minnesota. Like, I want to say that the Timberwolves are a really good team.
Yeah.
And I know they're fourth in the West.
Yeah.
But there are just times where I'm like, how are they ever going to win another game?
I don't know.
You know, if you watch Minnesota, sometimes they just look like...
But they're also suffering from young player syndrome. I mean, they don't have guys. You can say what you want about Towns and Butler and Wiggins.
Yeah.
Butler's the only one. Butler and Thibodeau are the only ones that have been anywhere in the playoffs. Everybody else on that team is still very young experience-wise. So,
you know the other guy that I find interesting right now? I would not want to run into the Jazz in an important game. The Jazz.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell in the dunk contest, thank the Lord. It looks like he's going to replace Aaron Gordon. But I saw something today that really bothered me. They're going to trade Rodney Hood. And I don't love that move for the Jazz. I don't know what the Jazz are doing.
They do trades like that all the time that just have no direction to them.
I'm curious because how long are you going to be able to hang on to Quinn Snyder? Because I think Quinn Snyder's doing a good job for them.
He's due for an upgrade. He's due.
Yeah, I look at that. I look at that story where they're trading Rodney Hood. You've got this great young superstar in Mitchell.
I mean, you're in a position to go and acquire players and get better. And you're trading away a guy like Rodney Hood, who's going to make that dagger three in the corner and give you a good game from the field.
You should be able to be seventh in the West, sixth or seventh in the West.
Where they were last year.
This is the problem with the West. And this is, again, to go back to my original point, why Golden State is just so damn good. Because you've got about 10 teams here that are capable of making the playoffs. The Lakers are not one of them.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and say the Kings, the Mavs, and the Suns. And really, the Grizzlies are terrible right now.
Right.
Those teams are not making the playoffs. I don't think the Lakers are making the playoffs. The Jazz and the Clippers. How about the Clipper trade? Supposedly, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, and a number one pick for DeAndre Jordan. And the Clippers said no. Would you have said no?
Yeah, I would have said no.
Really?
Yeah, because I think at this point, J.R. Smith is not regarded as a great player. He's a great defender.
He's an elite shooter.
But
okay. He is an elite shooter.
Elite shooter when he's hot. He's not an elite shooter all around. He's got to be in the groove to knock it down.
He's a big game elite shooter. Yeah. When like the spotlight's really bright, J.R. Smith will play well.
He turns up a little bit, but he's not like Kyle Korver, let's say, or any great shooter.
Well, who is though?
Curry.
Okay. Steph Curry's in a league of his own.
So that's what I'm saying.
I'm not putting J.R. Smith. There's elite shooters, and then there's a level up with freaking Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, by the way.
Yep.
Those guys are just knocked down no matter what. It's going in, right? I have a lot of respect for J.R. Smith. I could be wrong. Maybe J.R. Smith is a POS. I don't know.
At this point, he's trending towards a sixth man, not a starter.
I look at the West. And I just don't know. Where are they going to get more for DeAndre Jordan than that?
Well, that's a fair question. I don't think you're getting more for that. There were some rumors that they were thinking about trading him to Portland for, you know,
jeez,
whatever it might be. But I don't know. I think They're just
do
not
you
in position.
Like DeAndre Jordan?
Not really. I mean, I think he's a great, he's a good defender, but I mean, he's not giving you much offensively. He's picking and rolling to dunk. That's what
he's
he does.
He's a dunker.
That's
he's
all
dunker.
He is.
Yeah. A dunker and a shot blocker.
And a terrible free throw shooter.
I think this is going to be a fascinating trade deadline. I think a lot of important moves are going to get made. Love this song, by the way. I think a lot of big moves are going to get made. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how that shakes out. Hey, to end the podcast today, I want to talk about LaVar Ball, because I just can't get enough of how terrible of a father this guy is. And that's probably me being a jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, being a perfect father such as myself.
Right. You're perfect in every way. We get it.
Hot, get sexy, it. Like, yeah. You know, good mentor.
Yeah. Role model.
LaVar Ball got into a fight with the coach of the Lithuanian team that LiAngelo and LaMelo play for, because they didn't start. So LaVar has said that he and the head coach are no longer friends because his kids didn't start in one game, and he's cutting that coach off. Now, his kids did come off the bench, and they dominated the game. LiAngelo actually dominated a Lithuanian league game, gave him 25 points. LaMelo shot 50% from three and scored, I think, 18.
Yeah.
Like, they played really well.
Yeah.
So why are you complaining? Like, they played a ton
because
of minutes.
Because he needs attention. This is what it's always been with LaVar. He can't just be the guy that sits on the sideline like everybody else. He's got to be part of the gravy train. He's got to be part of the money-making machine that is the Big Baller Brand. And it just, it's sad. I mean, it's true, though. I'm not trying to be a complete douche about it. It's true. He is only doing this to be part of the money-making process. What is his true value to the, like, what is his true value to LaMelo and Lonzo? He has zero value
None.
To Lonzo. None.
None.
Lonzo
he's hurting
is an
Lonzo.
NBA player
He's
right
hurting
now.
Lonzo.
That's it, right? Yeah. Like, so he's hurting Lonzo. You can make a case that he helped LaMelo and LiAngelo. LaMelo was going to the NBA either way. I think in a couple years from now, he was on that track. But to make it so that he can't go to college because of the shoe deal, I think was a mistake. I think you got to let him at least mature 1 year in college and see what he can do.
Did he help LiAngelo?
I think he did help LiAngelo, because I don't think LiAngelo is an NBA player.
Wait, back this up. Donald Trump saved LiAngelo's life.
Right. LiAngelo's had a lot of great people in his life, and LaVar is just one of them. So, yeah, I think LiAngelo is going to be that guy who plays in Europe, who plays in China, right? He's going to play overseas.
So you still don't think he can play in
he
the NBA?
He may get to the D-League, but I don't think he's getting to the NBA. I really don't think.
I would agree. I don't think he's getting to the NBA either.
I don't even think he sees time as a bench player in the NBA.
Wow. Okay, come on.
I don't. I'm come serious. I'm being serious.
He will. I would agree. He's going to get a shot in the summer league. And I think we've seen plenty of guys make it from the summer league to the NBA bench. And I think he's that guy. Because if he improves the way he has improved, and I'll give him credit, just watching highlights yesterday, his three-point shot looks really good.
Is he ever as good as a Michael Beasley or, you know?
Michael Beasley's an elite talent, though. Michael Beasley was an MVP in China, I think. Right? So I don't know that he's ever that good. But, I mean, is he ever as good as, pick a scrub, is he ever as good as Tristan Thompson?
No.
Different positions, obviously.
Upside, I don't think he is right now. I think he could bring the same value, I guess.
So what's he going to be, a three in the NBA?
I would guess so, yeah.
He's never going to be
two.
A starting three. No, he's not a
three.
He's
a three, for sure. Maybe even a four, but a three.
Yeah. I think he can play. He's probably a G League Summer League. You're right. He probably is a Europe guy.
Is he a guy that lands on the two-way contract?
That's interesting. I think LaMelo is going to be a star, and I think LiAngelo could be a two-way contract guy. I do. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow. Jake, say goodbye.
Bye.